And once again, welcome back to the Fat Loss Simplified podcast, where we teach you how you can lose 20 or more pounds of fat, heal your relationship with food, and be proud of what you see in the mirror without obsessing over food choices, spending hours in the gym, or giving up your social life. And today we have a very special guest that I would like to introduce to you guys a little bit later on, speaking about how rejuvenated moms can make happier kids. But before we get into that conversation, I just wanted to remind you about a couple opportunities that are available for you here at the show. And the most important one that you can do to make sure that you're taken care of for the future is to hit that follow or subscribe button. That ensures that you continue to get the valuable information that we provide, as well as to help grow the show and help people who are looking for the same information find us as well. You also have the opportunity, if you're listening through these episodes and you think to yourself, you know what, I really could use some help in figuring out the fat loss puzzle, feel free to schedule a lifestyle audit. The link to that is in the show notes below. And I would love to have a absolutely no pressure conversation with you about what you've been trying, what has worked, what possibly hasn't worked, and what are the best steps for you moving forward so that you can start seeing progress today. And with all that being said, let's get right into the show. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. And today we have with us a very special guest, Tessia Watson. And Tessia, when I saw you, you know, we got connected online through some social networking sites. And when I saw your profile pop up, I was like, you know what? Tessia would be the perfect fit for our show because you are focused on serving moms and empowering moms to be able to take time for themselves so that they can become the person that they want to be and have a greater impact on their kids and the next generation, which is something that everyone wants. But I think that in particular, women and moms want. Moms really desire the absolute best for their kids. And that's something that I talk a lot about because a lot of times moms have this idea that if I take care of myself, that means I'm failing someone else, that there's always this idea that somebody, that you always have to be doing something and it always has to be for someone else and that it can't be for yourself. And so when I saw that you were serving moms in that way, I was super intrigued and super thankful that there was another voice speaking about the same thing, but kind of in a different way, because we're in different fields. But before I, you know, toss you the first question, just to let the audience know, Tessa just released her first book. Is that correct? This is your very first book.
Yes.
Yeah. It's your very first book, and it is Rejuvenated Moms Make Happy Kids. Tessia, I would love for you to share your story about being a single mother. You're the single mother of two boys, and just the blessings and what you enjoy about being the mom of two boys.
Thank you. Thank you, Bryce, for having me today. I'm really, really pleased to be with you on the show and to serve, you know, the community. So just to mention, yes, I live in London, but I'm French. I'm originally from Paris. That's why I have this accent, this French accent. So yes, the journey was, wow, it was a beautiful journey to, you know, as a mother, to raise my two boys, now 11 and 9 years old. So this journey was a phenomenal journey in a sense that in terms of growth, who I became in the process was just, you know, amazing. I loved the changes in me. And obviously I loved that I was able to raise happy, healthy, well-balanced and thriving, you know, kids. So I've loved my role and I still love my role. Now, to be honest, it was not an easy way. It was not just an easy journey. And I tried to be prepared. I did everything that, you know, people could recommend recommend me, but you cannot be fully prepared for what's, you know, is coming up.
Right.
So it started straight away with, you know, the birth. The birth was very difficult for both of them, and the tiredness was just unbearable. It was very, very difficult, especially for the first one. So it was not sleeping through the night, and it was just a nightmare. So I felt lost, completely lost. I felt isolated. I knew that, you know, baby's reputation is to not sleep. But at what level? You know, and how it could be so damaging for my own health to not sleep for months, literally, I would say for two at least. And then after 2 months, it was a bit better. So you can't anticipate that. And you can't anticipate that level of tiredness at all. So I just realized that the more we talk to each other, the more we share our stories, the more mothers will know about different scenarios. Maybe they won't come across that one, that challenge, okay? But the more they know, obviously, the more they can, you know, just adjust themselves, you know, in face of the situation.
Yep.
So in my case, for instance, I didn't have the awareness of reaching out. So I stayed in the problem and I just suffered. But a couple of years later, I've met she's now a very good friend, Mathilde. And the first time I've met her, she said to me, "Oh, I'm a maternity nurse." "Okay, what's that?" "Oh, but you know, I come to the parents' place and I stay up night while the parents can sleep." "What?"
Yeah, that's a gift.
And I was like, "Oh my God, it couldn't have been this way." And I think the day that she said that to me, she revealed that to me, I think I cried. I remember I didn't cry, like you couldn't see tears, like, you know, like that coming down, but I was
right, but
like,
the emotional wave.
It was too much because I suffered too much during those times. And I knew if I had known about this type of service, I would have definitely reached out. Even if it's just once a week or twice a week, it would have made such a difference. But because you just don't know, you don't have this habit of when there is a problem, you just look for the solution, neither. So you just, you know, go day by day trying to do your best. And it affects a lot of things. It affects, you know, your relationship with your partner. It affects, you know, the way you're going to handle the day. It affects lots of things. So that's why, you know, I decided that anything that I've learned, anything that, you know, I found helpful for mothers to have an easier journey, a better journey, in motherhood, that I would share it. I will share it, I will talk about it, because we need to support each other. We need to make sure that less and less mothers, and hopefully no mothers, has to go through very challenging, you know, motherhood.
Yeah, and that's a very much needed message. And I also have to selfishly admit that one of the reasons I had you on is because I have a lot of friends in my life that recently had kids. And they're going through these very same things, you know, not being able to sleep and having the idea that they have to bear it all on their own, and that there is solutions if you look for them, and realizing that it's okay to look for those solutions. And so that realization, I know, was a huge relief to you and is a huge relief to moms that realize it. And part of the reason you're here today is to help more moms realize that.
Exactly.
But one of the things that you mention in your book is reaching a point where you felt overwhelmed, feeling like you got to a point that you felt like you didn't exist as Tessia anymore. Why do you think that that is such a common problem for moms?
In my case, I was a stay-at-home mom. So it means every day, 24/7, in the house is mama, 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 mama. No one, you know, will will say, Tessia, even your name, you know, they
yeah,
call
that's
you
true.
Mama all day long. What about Tessia? Where she is, you know? So when your partner comes back, okay, you have a bit of Tessia. And sometimes even the partner say, Mama as well, because he's so used to it. And so I just realized that I was losing myself in the sense that I was not doing anything that I used to enjoy before having kids. So I enjoyed being with my children, playing with them, going for activities, no problem. But what about my, you know, hobbies, my activities as well, or spending time with friends? Look, for instance, when you become a mother, you go often to different classes, which is great. You meet other parents, other moms, and the children can socialize as well, which is very nice. And when you meet up with your friends, your mom's friends, you talk about the kids most of the time. That's the main, you know, topic, conversation. And you're not 100%, you know, here just, you know, to have a conversation with your friend. Let's say an adult conversation.
Yeah.
And at any time you are interrupted. Oh, mama, oh, be careful, don't do that, or careful this, and or they're crying or whatever. So you don't really have a nice time saying, meaning focusing only on your friend. You're still there trying to think that you still have time with your friend, but actually it's all about the kids still.
Yeah.
You know, you're
trying
then,
to keep them alive.
Yes, exactly. You still, your attention is, you know, on them, which is absolutely normal, but you can still, you can have a meetup with your friend child free, and it will be a different experience. You will feel that you're back to who you were before, because you're having, you know, conversation without interruptions, you know, and it's something that you always had before. And you just, you know, feel that you can have conversations that you go back to the past and you remember what you've done together or things like that. It's just, even having, you know, a coffee with a friend or dinner with a friend, it's something that doesn't exist that much when you have the children, at least the first years.
Yeah.
This is gone. And this was a part of who you were as well. And it's just one example. But what about the other example when you were exercising, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a week, and suddenly you had the child? Because I used to do that before. I was working in a company, and they had a gym facility. So, you know, I would just go to the gym, I don't know, 4 times a week. Then I decided to become a stay-at-home mother, and I just decided to prioritize my child, and I never look for a gym facility around. Like, I never even thought about, yeah, you can still do that. It never crossed my mind. And it was something I used to do.
Yeah. And that's a very common problem, because it's almost as if there's this huge lack of awareness that you don't actually even have to go to a gym. If you are just aware of your daily habits, you can take care of yourself. But as you said, you're so wrapped up in taking care of other people, taking care of your kids, taking care of house chores when your kids are napping, taking care of all these other things, that you can almost lose all your bearings on the awareness about how you're taking care of yourself, how much you're actually getting out of the house into sunlight or sleeping or drinking, even drinking, right? You know, I hear moms say things like they will prepare dinner, make sure their kids eat dinner, and then they don't eat dinner themselves. And I'm like, yikes. No wonder there is such a problem for moms. And it's not, because I hear this a lot. And I want moms to be aware of this as well. It is not because you are lazy or that you lack discipline or willpower, because that's what they tell themselves. It's because you are so busy working hard to take care of everyone else that you've forgotten that you're a person that needs to be taken care of as well. And so I'm glad that you bring that up. That's such an important detail.
And it happened to me as well. When the first one was really little, it happened a few times that I was having just one meal during the day. And it was obviously not laziness because I was absolutely busy, you know, taking care of the house or taking care of him.
Yep.
But it definitely happened. And
yep.
How can you have all the energy or, you know, the vitality if you lack so many things, you know, in your nutriments or whatever? You just can't. You just, yep, you know, can't keep up.
Yeah, 100%. Now, in your book, you talk about this, and I'm trying to summarize it as best I can in this question. But would you mind sharing kind of your journey to realizing there has just got to be a better way? There's just got to be something besides feeling like you are lost as a person. There's got to be something beyond this. Kind of what did that look like for you?
Yes. So Bryce, you know, what we just said about not eating, it's a good reminder because, okay, I was not eating, let's say lunch, and I was, you know, I was catching up with dinner. But I knew it was not right to do that. I was like, something is wrong here, you know, but I didn't know at first how to change that, you know, instead of telling myself to, you know, it happened yesterday, but don't let that happen again tomorrow. Make sure that you eat well, and you obviously take care of the baby, but you take care of yourself as well.
Yep.
So it's just, you know, thoughts, words, sentences in my mind was started to, you know, rolling, and I was like thinking a lot, that's not the way, it's impossible because it's too much suffering, too much, you know. I was very sad when I was not able to sleep. I was crying every evening because the baby was just didn't want to sleep alone. So my baby wanted to be next to me, close to me all night long. So I knew there was something not right. Why are you gonna, you know, bring on earth such a miracle and it has to bring so much suffering? That's something not right here. And I had to figure out, I have to find what is it. And if I don't, then I will continue on suffering, you know? So I decided to start reading lots of books in self-education, you know, how you can raise your children, learning so many tips as well. It was very helpful for the years ahead of me and how I will raise the kids. That was really helpful because as soon as I started to get information, I started to be more in control of, you know, situations, you know, occurring. And okay, maybe I didn't know about what to do when the baby is not sleeping. And I knew that later on when I, you know, met my friend, you know, Mathilde. But I just learned so many things that I was able to apply. And it changed the whole dynamic because I felt more, whoa, this mother journey is, wow, I'm going to start to enjoy that because I was applying all the tips. I can give you an example. So you all learn about, you know, children around 2 years old. They can go into that stage of development where they can have some tantrums sometimes, and it's part of their development. So there's nothing to be worried of, but you need to know how to address that or to respond at least to that. So because I knew ahead of time, when my first one, I was so happy. When my first one had his tantrum around 2 years old, and we just, you know, went to the supermarket, and suddenly he wanted to have something, and I said no because it was something that he couldn't have. And it just started to scream and scream and scream, and I was like, this is it, this is the moment.
This is the moment it all unravels.
Yes, because obviously you know your child. You've been to supermarkets before. You never done such a thing. And suddenly at 2 years something or two years, 2 months, whatever, you go still to the same supermarket, but it's not the same child anymore. So, and it's screaming, and everybody's looking at you and you're like, whoa, I'm controlling everything. I'm under control here. I knew what to do. I knew that I just had, you know, to stay calm, to be patient, to talk to him. I was talking to him, even if he was screaming and maybe not really hearing everything. But I was just, you know, telling him nicely that I understand his feelings. Mm. I understand the way, you know, he is now and why he feels this way. But I'm sorry, I can't give you whatever you want. For whatever reason, I can't remember exactly what it was at the time. I don't remember. But then I explained, and it doesn't matter. You can explain. The child doesn't care. It's just all about, you know, screams and everything. But I was calm. I was, you know, feeling that it's absolutely normal what's going on right now. So I didn't felt at the time that I was losing it, or I started to feel embarrassed, or I started to shout at my kid or anything like that. We went out, he was still screaming, and then we went to the car, and inside the car, he stopped. And I say, wow, that's something. And I just said to him, I know what you've been through. I understand it's part of your development, and that's okay. But I can't just give you whatever you want, because that this is really important as well, because you send a message to the child. So if screaming means I can get what I want, then that's normal for the child to just scream and get, you know, what he wants. So self-education and growing as a parent is key.
Yes.
So, you know, podcasts like your podcast or books or, you know, programs, whatever you want to learn, you know, about, you know, motherhood or to better your skills as a mother, well, it will be so beneficial for you, for your child and for yourself. So this was something that it was very, very helpful in my case.
Yeah. And I love that, because it goes back to the idea of awareness. And you were aware in that moment, right? You were aware that people were looking. And there's two responses that people are going to have. All the people who are parents are looking at you thinking, I understand where you are. So there's no judgment. They're just thinking, I've been there. And so it's all good. And then there's people who've never had kids that maybe there's some judgment, but it's because they've never been there. They've never been in your shoes.
Yes. So
but you're aware of that. Mm-hmm. You didn't let it frazzle you. You're also aware that your child in that moment is testing you. And he's also aware, as he watches you, that you're in control. You're not being frazzled, and he cannot manipulate you in that moment. And he's learning that. And that's part of his development. And your response to it is part of his development. And going back, it just goes back to the idea of awareness, being aware of how these things impact your kids. And in your book, you talk about how rejuvenated moms specifically make happy kids. So applying that same principle, how do you think that moms prioritizing their own rejuvenation, their own self-care, and that's going to look different for everybody. For somebody, it's going to look like going out to coffee with a friend. And for somebody else, it's going to look like getting a workout in. It just depends on your personality, your preferences, what your needs are, those kinds of things. But as your kids watch you take care of yourself, what kind of positive impact have you seen that have on kids in the next generation?
Yes, it's, you're right, Bryce. It's rejuvenation practice look different, you know, from mother to mother. It's all about acknowledging your own needs, what it's right for you. So anything that makes you feel, you know, whole again, you know, new, will it's the great, you know, it's a great rejuvenation practice for you. So it could be anything. I loved to read when I was, you know, having my children. They were, you know, asleep, or they were doing a nap, and I was doing that. But it was helping me to just think about something else and not just always the dinner or the kids or things like that. Meditation as well was really helpful. I loved it as well. Massaging as well. I that's thanks to a friend, but I decided to have a massage at least once a month. It was something that I wanted to have, and it's a very good relaxation tool, and it helps you obviously feel lighter, happier as well. And your children notice that. They notice what you're doing. They notice that you're doing some, you know, whatever it is, if it's yoga or if, you know, it's sometimes going out with some friends and not with them. They see that, and I think it has an impact, because when you're back to that role, that's this beautiful role as a mother, you feel just more present, because you had, you know, you've met your own needs, and you just feel, you know, happier, more at peace, and just more present. Being with them, and they feel that they feel that mommy is different. Oh, she went out and now she's suddenly happier, you know, so they feel that. So we shouldn't think that doing these kind of things will impact them negatively. It's absolutely the opposite, because they found a new mom when you're back from, you know, a rejuvenation practice, because obviously it's your mind, it's your body, it's your spirit, you know, that you've been, you know, you did some work on that, you know, and it's just, you know, you have a less cluttered mind as well. It's just so, so nice. And it's just such a benefit for the children.
Yeah. And them learning the lesson that your life doesn't revolve around them, which teaches them that valuable lesson, because then they begin to learn and solve problems on their own instead of having to solely rely on you as mom to solve all their problems. Exactly. And it also teaches them how to get along with other people, because if you are able to leave your kids with somebody else, they have to learn, right? Not everyone has your personality, your temperament, and they have to adjust and they have to learn to somebody else. And it teaches them to get along in the world. And so not only is mom being rejuvenated, but the kids are also learning lessons about how to behave and interact in a world without mom. Because at some point, right? And mom is always going to be a vital part of everyone's life. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, I still call my mom. As in my 30s, I still am calling my mom. But that role looks different throughout life, and preparing them for that time when mom's not always there. And I've seen it, I'm sure you've seen it, where kids grow up and they become so dependent on mom that when they leave the house, they kind of fall flat on their face because they never learned those things. And so not only does it serve mom, but it also serves the kids. And we talked a little bit beforehand that understanding that serves your kids and doesn't take away from them can go a long way in helping moms feel less guilty. Actually, not guilty at all. They shouldn't feel any guilt about taking care of themselves. And so what would your thoughts be on that is reframing it so that taking care of yourself is also taking care of your kids, and that should not lessen but eliminate guilt when it comes to those kinds of practices?
Yes, I completely agree with you. I think when children can interact with other children, first of all, a mom cannot replace their peers. So in our childcare program in London, so moms, they just, you know, leave the children for a couple of hours with us. So the child can learn straight away independence, because they used to be only with the parents, mainly most of the time with the mom. So for the first time, they gain, you know, independence, not being with the main carer all the time. So that's the first thing. obviously they're starting, you know, to socialize and interact with their peers. And this we can't provide that as parents. I'm not a 2 years old, you know, child.
Yep.
So they can only learn with another 2 years old child. And obviously you have a team making sure that everybody, you know, is safe and enjoying his time. So it's having some time for yourself is beneficial for your children, because they, if you decide that option, there are so many different options, maybe not so many, but we do have different options, childcare, you know, options. But if we take the nursery one, they're happy there, you know? So you take some time for yourself to do whatever you have to do, and they learn. They learn, they learn, they play, they socialize, they're happy. In our case, you know, it's a bilingual program, so they learn another language. And
we need that in the States, as we were mentioning earlier, because we're lazy when it comes to languages.
We need Le Petit Bello in the States. And so where is the guilt? Where is the guilt when you, it's a win-win situation. You go enjoy your time while your child is enjoying his time. So where is the guilt here?
Yep.
There's no guilt. Everybody is happy. Everybody has, you know, their needs met at that time. But it's something that parents, mothers, they need to be aware of.
Yep. No, and I absolutely love that. And glad that there's somebody out there like you setting that example. Now, speaking of kids, I know that you have to go and take care of your kids in the next few minutes. So I want to ask you these last two questions. And that is, this is something that I like to ask everybody that comes on the show. And that is, what part of your story seems to resonate with moms the most? So it's the thing that moms are continually asking you about. And what lesson do you hope that they learn from your experiences?
I think the part of the story that resonates the most with mom is that lack of awareness that we have to prioritize our needs. You know, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to create those me time moments to be more relaxed, well rested, and then we become optimal, you know, parent to obviously raise happy, healthy, successful kids.
Yep.
I think there's something missing here in the narrative. For whatever reason, we think that we have to do everything for them at, you know, at the cost of our own deterioration. And it's not the way to go to experience a beautiful, you know, motherhood journey.
Yeah.
The way to go to experience a beautiful motherhood journey is to absolutely take care of yourself as a mother. You deserve, you know, to have hobbies. You deserve to have some time with friends the way you used to do it.
Yep.
You deserve all of that to be well-rounded and to be the best parent you can be for your children. So I think that's the message behind, you know, rejuvenating moms make happy kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more. So I'm glad that we got connected, because we serve in totally different ways, but we see the exact same problem unfolding before us. And I'm glad that there's another voice out there seeking to solve this problem. And I know that you're on your way in the next few minutes to take care of your boys, but I did want to also leave the audience with this. So the number one way that they can find you is through your website. And I'm also in the show notes going to drop a direct link to Amazon for your book, Rejuvenated Moms Make Happy Kids. Is there anything in addition to that, that if moms have questions for you or they want to stay connected with you, that would be the best way to do that?
Oh yeah, that would be lovely. I would be really happy to serve. that would be a privilege. Through social media, they can reach out. Tessia Watson on Instagram, for instance. And on the website as well, you can send me emails at tessia@tessiawatson.com.
Okay. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes below. And if I understand this correctly, I saw this on your website. I'm not a mom, so I didn't sign up for it. But you send out weekly, or is it monthly, newsletters with giving moms tips?
Yeah, monthly.
Yeah. So that would be a great way for people to get connected with you as well. Sign up for that list, receive tips, become a better mom. And that would be great. So awesome. Thank you for your time today. And thank you for serving our audience with your experience, your story, and your wisdom.
And I just want to say before we leave that becoming a better you will make you a better mom. So you need to think about you.
Yep, absolutely. And just like you want your kids to be healthy now, you want them to be healthy, both mentally, physically, all the above, socially, everything. You want them to have that in the future too. And if they see you taking care of yourself, then they're more likely to take care of themselves in the future and not fall into those habits of losing themselves. And so sometimes, you know, they might think, well, I'm serving my kids now, but by taking care of yourself, you're serving them into the future as well, which is key. So absolutely. But thank you for your time today. And
thank you so much.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a pleasure.
Oh, and P.S. always take a look down in the show notes below, as there is links to my other social media handles. You can go and follow me other places, as well as there's probably a resource down there that'll be helpful for you.